CliffCentral.com.
There's an event of the yes persuasion happening beneath your refrigerator. That would be the O'Flanagans. They are making sweet, sweet cockroach loving behind a rogue cherry tomato. As they lie spent, two tangled exoskeletons, they snack on a piece of used dental floss and pick names for the new additions to their rapidly growing brood. 127 and counting. And Mrs. O is still broody. Freaky broody. The refrigerator hums and works its Michael Bublé-esque spell. "I'm going to ravage you like a piece of sandwich meat," says Mr. O, as Mrs. O rolls around giggling helplessly on her back. "Bring it, Papa," she says, "bring it." And he does. Right there beneath your refrigerator in the shadow of a cherry tomato. Make them stop with fast, deadly doom.
CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. As Wednesday rolls around again, it's time for Animal Central with me, Sharon Dale, and my awesome co-host, Jonathan Sinclair.
Good morning.
Hi, Jono. Have you had a good week so far?
Yeah, so far so good. It's only a three-day week.
It is. It's an odd week.
We have nothing to complain about.
No, not at all, except in business when you're trying to phone people and you're trying to get
stuff done.
Yeah,
everyone is on leave at this time.
Hey? They're either on leave or they really don't care. They're just like,
I'm not answering my phone this week.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a stressful week for me. There's just been so much bad news.
Yes, we did hear about the things that were happening.
Oh, there's been a lot of bad news. Look, a lot of good news too, adoptions and things happening. And of course, my Canine Zone magazine is out there on shelves. So
it's got a border collie on this time.
This is the border collie issue.
Very beautiful.
This is the border collie issue. And it's an amazing breed. So we have some wonderful breed owner stories in there. Mm-hmm. We're looking at Barking Mad, which is, we had them in the studio. One of the most amazing shelters in the country. And then very important in light of all the dog theft, we've got an article on, is your dog at risk of being stolen? Very important.
Because I'm sure there's certain breeds that are more at risk.
Absolutely.
And also, I suppose, the smaller breeds, because they can fit through the fence.
Yes. And the thing is, please, you know, this is where, you know, we look at the whole fighting ring bust this week and whatever. This is where your free to a good home dog goes.
Mm.
To people, you know, that's going to use them for something that that's not going to be good for the dog. Mm. So please don't buy from pet stores. Don't support them, because these people also buy from pet stores, because there's no checks and balances. You can go and buy a pit bull puppy from a pet store.
Yeah, and there's no home
checks.
No
one checking. Yeah. No, exactly. So that's why we don't, in Canine Zone, we're saying please adopt.
Yeah.
Please adopt, because at the end of the day, we're trying to shut down all, or certainly people like Ban Animal Trading are trying to shut down that outlet.
Mm-hmm.
That people need to go to reputable breeders who will do home checks and make sure that these puppies are going to the right people, or adopt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get any breeds from shelters. If you want a pure breed, you can get a pure breed. So, and then, of course, keep your dog safe. Mm-hmm. Don't allow them to get out the gate and run in the street, because there are baddies out there that will take them and they will end up in a bad place. And then, of course, the horrible stories that have come out this week of people who don't want their dogs anymore, they're immigrating, and they will give it to a member of their staff, a domestic worker, who is in a position. They can't look after it properly. Mm. They don't have the funds. And these dogs run. They can't cope in that environment.
Yeah.
So please, please read, get Canine Zone magazine, read how you can make your dog safer. And then we're also talking about the SPCA. The SPCA revealed, we're telling people what it is that the SPCA does. And today, we're going to find out more, because we've got Bryce Maroc, who is the NSPCA veterinarian. And he's going to be telling us what a day in the life of a veterinarian at the SPCA is all about.
It must be tough.
It must be tough. Bryce, welcome. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much, Sharon.
Yeah. Much appreciated.
When we met Bryce outside, he was very nervous. And I said, it's very chilled. You must just relax.
But you don't understand that. The day I first did this, literally, my knees were shaking.
Yeah.
Then now it's just, it's like you're sitting in the lounge and chatting, but you don't realize that new people coming in, it can be a little bit overwhelming.
No, man, you're just telling us what you do, your day-to-day stuff.
Yes.
That's what we want to hear.
So, Bryce, you're a veterinarian.
Yes, I am.
And are you the one of many veterinarians at the NSPCA?
First of all, I'd just like to clarify that I'm the veterinarian for the NSPCA, the National Council.
Right.
There are many veterinarians who work at the local level, the local SPCAs. I initially started off at the Roodepoort SPCA, working in the hospital
there. My turf, yes.
it is a different type of job.
I'm sure.
I understand that a lot of units from the NSPCA have come and presented what they're
doing.
Yes,
we're doing a series on all the different divisions.
And you're still busy with it?
We are.
You can never run out. There's so many people involved.
And we're going to bring some back again. So there's a lot of – people don't realize –
what goes into the organization. I think it's just the kennels and those sorts of things.
Where are you – let's first ask this. What made you do this? Why did you get – instead of going into private practice, why in SPCA?
I was in private practice. It's a fantastic job. It really is a fulfilling job to work in private practice. But I did come into contact with people involved in welfare, specifically the NSPCA.
Yes.
And these guys just do fantastic work.
Oh, they do.
You know, it's something that it's difficult to really understand. I remember when I was in my final year, one of my professors said to me, "My job as a veterinarian is not simply to save lives, but it's to stop suffering." And that's our main focus at the NSPCA. So it just gelled with me.
Yes.
And what I really felt I needed to
do
in my life.
So it must be hard, though. I mean, yes, it is to save lives and end suffering. But I guess in the ending suffering, that must be very
when you have to make that call, what happens to this animal?
Well, I mean, that's difficult to say. You know, I've seen many animals go to wonderful homes. But, you know, the call is an animal should never have to suffer. And the word here is unnecessarily.
Yes.
If it's for completely, if it's for any purpose that's going to result in animal suffering unnecessarily, and I'm going to basically highlight that word.
Unnecessarily. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we've all gone through having to have your dogs euthanized because they were very old and they're very ill, and it is so stressful, and it is so, and I sometimes feel sorry for the vets because they've got to deal with that
and the emotions of the family crying.
So that can't be an easy part of your job, hey, Bryce?
No, it isn't. And I can tell you, I know many, many veterinarians who are very realistic in the prognosis of an animal. And they would – you'd be surprised how long they would try and keep the animal going.
Yes. Okay.
And you would ask them, what would you advise somebody else if this was your client?
Right. Mm.
And that light drops and they realize what they actually should be doing.
No, absolutely. I think some people do try and keep their animals alive as long as possible.
Yeah, it's natural. I mean,
you don't want
But eventually
to
you have to put
over.
The animal's needs before your own and realize, you know, I might be in pain now, but my animal's in a lot worse pain.
Yeah, yes, you've got to get to that stage where you go, this is now selfish and I have
But generally your vet is the one that tells you now it's time, you know?
Yes.
I mean, towards the end, you're generally making those vet visits, you know, sort of once a month, twice a month, because your animal is getting sicker. And, yeah, eventually the vet says, I think it's time to start considering this. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, yes.
So, Bryce, what do you do exactly? Let's tell us a day in the life.
Yeah,
do you go
around
to the different branches? What does a day in your life consist of?
Sure. You know, this is – when I saw the title, I was I had to think quite hard because my job, it's very varied. As you'll see once the series is wrapped up, that I work very closely with all the different units at the NSPCA, and that includes the The Farm Animal Protection Unit, mm-hmm. the Wildlife Protection Unit, Research and Ethics.
Yes, we heard it last week, yes.
Special Investigative Unit, which I think you've also already had.
Yes, mm-hmm. Wendy.
Wendy Wilson, yes.
Yes.
As well as Special Projects Unit. I also do assist from time to time at the local society level through our society liaison unit. My day can really vary.
I'm sure.
I might wake up in the Northern Cape to monitor a sporting event to make sure that everything is done in the most humane way possible.
Yes.
I might start the day off looking my emails for. But yeah, I do work with all types of animals, and I do provide veterinary support to the units. A scientific basis, if you will. I do work with lizards, all the way up to abattoirs.
Oh, okay. Wild animals?
Yes. Look, we do ensure that wild animals are not exploited.
Like zoos, circuses.
Yes.
Right.
Basically, anywhere where there's a possibility of an animal being exploited. Mm-hmm. That's where I provide my assistance. Okay. I'm never the one who initiates. No. I'm the one who comes and assists.
So you're going in to look at the health of the well-being of the animal from a veterinary perspective.
Yes.
Okay.
And also from a scientific basis. You know, there are many issues that are still under research. Is the animal suffering in this scenario?
Okay. Yes.
And my job is to decide, because animals can't say, I'm suffering in this.
Unfortunately.
No. I'm suffering in this environment that I'm in, as you were speaking now about puppy mills.
Yes.
You know, I've seen terrible puppy mills. And often it's not just the poor condition they're in with the fleas and the worms, the social isolation and the deprivation that they experience. As a veterinarian, I can refer to studies that have been done, and we always give the animal the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
If there's one single study that has proven that this is not good for the animal, then we are completely against it. And I will give my opinion.
Good.
Whether we need to prosecute, whether we need to educate, which is basically what the inspectors really, that's more their decision. But I give my opinion, which they can act upon.
So, Bras, what's the chain of events if you go into a puppy mill? So the inspector would go there first. They, for example, there was a huge bust with a whole lot of, they call them the Brits 10. Mm. These were beagles from a puppy mill that has, wonderfully enough, they've all gone into foster homes and many have been adopted. We're actually going to cover that in the next issue. It's a brilliant story. But you would then go in with the inspector once they have alerted you to the fact that there is a problem here.
Yes.
And then you assess these dogs and puppies, the breeding stock, as they call them.
That's correct. And as I said, it's not just obviously the puppies, but it's all animals.
Yes.
The Farm Animal Protection Unit is doing fantastic work in the abattoirs, for instance. And I would also accompany them to give them a scientific basis that animals are actually being slaughtered in a humane fashion.
Very important.
This is quite different from what you're doing in private practice, because I suppose then you're spending a lot of the time in the operating room or on the
cats.
Operating table, doing neuterings, spaying, things like that. Do you miss that type of thing?
Yes, of course. You know, I miss the patients with the names, and I miss the bond between the
patients with names, because the animals you see don't have names, I suppose.
And also the bond between the human and the animal.
Yes.
But look, there is a, people don't really know that their vet's involved in every facet of situations where you'll find animals. There are vets who work in the pork industry and in the wildlife industry and research and ethics, so we are trained to be able to switch across to this type of work. The difference is with my type of work is that I focus only on welfare. For instance, at an abattoir, say, my only concern is till the moment the animal is dead. It's not like other vets in that field where they would worry about meat safety and production.
So you making sure that they are
as comfortable
as comfortable as possible till they die.
Yes.
That's not an easy job.
No, it's not an easy job as a vegetarian. It just it never makes sense to me. But I can understand. You know, people eat meat
if it is going to happen, at least there is someone there checking that it's humane, as humane as possible.
Yes.
Important work. And sometimes I've seen the transport of these animals is probably far worse because you see them crushed in the back of trucks.
Yeah, and I think there's a mindset of humans, if this animal is going to die anyway, you know, what dignity should it have now?
I guess it's not like that, hey?
Mm.
No. And have you seen, I mean, we're talking, going back again to puppy mills, a lot of them around, Bryce?
Especially South Africa.
Control?
I mean, I'd love to know what our situation is.
No, it is a very big problem. Mm. You know, unfortunately, people only see the end result.
Yeah, the cute
little puppy.
Yeah, cute little puppy.
They haven't seen how
the
mother and the father live in the cage and in what conditions they do live in. And unfortunately, you know, this spans all breeds. And many people wouldn't believe it. You know, you buy Pekingese for 10,000 rand and you would think that the puppy mill where it comes from is fantastic. You know,
those funds are not going back into making the dogs comfortable.
No, certainly not.
No, and there's a lot of these breeders that tout themselves as being CUSA registered responsible breeders. One last week with Schnauzers, a well-known name that was actually found to be a puppy mill, and she actually subcontracts other people to breed these Schnauzers for her.
I wonder,
and
when it crosses over from a backyard breeder to a puppy mill, when do you classify, okay, this is a puppy mill, this is just a breeder, you know? Is it the cages that define that, or the sheer volume of the dogs they're breeding?
You know, I think, in my experience, and I might get into trouble for this, but a lot of breeders in general do not look after their animals correctly. Mm. So we're not talking about a high volume unit where there's 200 dogs on. I've seen units where there's a small amount of animals, and the people actually cannot afford or are not willing to afford vaccinations and veterinary treatment for the pregnant bitch. So I'm going to come out and say, you know, the best option is to adopt from our kennels.
Absolutely.
Or any welfare kennels.
Absolutely it is.
And as you said before, we do a lot of checks, and, you know, we would hate to take an animal who's already gone through abuse and send them to another home where they have to repeat that or experience that form of abuse
you
as well.
Try and make sure that
it's almost like you're a social worker for animals. Yes. I mean, if you think of humans, a social worker would be doing what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
But also, correct me if I'm wrong, Jono, that question you asked, and correct me, Bryce, in my opinion, a backyard breeder is somebody who doesn't spay and neuter their dog. They want puppies because they want the kids to see the puppies or they want to see, you know, so a ridiculous reason. And they have litters, which they then put just out to pet stores or advertise.
Or give to their friends. Can't take care of them properly.
Whereas a puppy mill, but it's not necessarily on a larger scale. It's their pet dogs.
Yes.
But the puppy mills, it's a business. It's a big business. Am I right in saying that? Is that the difference between a backyard breeder and a puppy mill or puppy farm?
Yes, I would say, but at the end of the day, when you talk about business, breeding dogs and cats can never really be a profitable business if you're doing it correctly.
If you're doing it properly,
it can never be a profitable business because there's so much that goes into it. I mean, you would know. You know, a pregnant woman with everything that she needs, and when she finally gives birth, and what that baby needs for we're talking dogs and cats for the first 6 weeks of life, you're really talking high costs.
Yes.
That even if you did charge a high amount,
you're still going to need to get that money. Well, you see, I don't think they really care.
The big breeders do cut costs. I mean, they have a small area of this size, and you know, you're looking at about 60 animals in this area packed in cages on top of each other.
It's very upsetting. But Bryce, there's something that we actually haven't looked at over the weeks that we've done in SPCA. And I put something on Canine Zone, my Facebook wall, the other day, and people want to know, what is actually the SPCA stance on euthanasia? Is it something, how long does the dog have once it's in the kennels? I mean, I understand that sometimes it is absolutely necessary. But there's, I think, a lot of panic and hysteria going out there at the moment. Mm. People saying, if you find a dog, don't take it to the SPCA because it's a day and they'll euthanize it, which is not true. Is there a time limit? How do you look at that, Bryce? Or is that a tough one?
you're asking the wrong person.
Am I right? Okay.
Senior Inspector Jakub Pieterse, when he comes, he'll be able to explain that a lot better than us. Because remember, there are close to 100 SPCA societies all over the country. I do not get involved
in that.
But let's go back to the breeding situation.
Yes, yes.
This is what's caused.
Right, absolutely.
This is what's causing this. The supply and demand for animals, unfortunately, tips in the way of supply.
Yes.
And we just have too many animals out there. Many people obviously will keep the puppies and once they stop being cute, they'll hand them in, or they get too big, or they're too rambunctious, or they're simply moving overseas. I'm not going to comment any further on that because I'd probably say the wrong thing. I was at Roodepoort, I worked in the hospital, in treatment and, which included surgery and medically treating animals. And now at the NSPCA, I work very little with dogs and cats.
Yes.
I am going at the end of the month to a very remote part of the Eastern Cape in Transkei to do mass sterilizations. And treatments.
Must be nice to be hands-on, you know, with what you study.
See, that's the wonderful side of it, to actually go and do. I actually saw something the other day, I don't know how factual it is, but it said in this country, with the amount of animals in shelters, a family of four, each person in that household would need to have 7 dogs.
What?
Yes.
Actually stop that. Yeah, because just breeding, and not enough homes. So if you've got 4 people in your family, you'll each have to have seven dogs to give them all a home.
Yeah.
Which is, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And how many people can actually afford to have 7 animals?
Yeah.
Even if they did really care, if they had that that moral outlook of fairness towards others, including animals, how could they afford?
It's costly. It's costly. Veterinary treatment.
If you're going to look after them properly, like you say, it is costly.
Yes.
Hey?
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing to have a dog, but if you really are going to inoculate them, feed them the right food, spend enough time with them, it's like emotionally costing, time costly, financially.
I think the only way is to stop this out of control breeding.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, at the end of the day, that's the only way. But I mean, the NSPCA of late has been doing such amazing things. Aside from your spay and neuter campaigns, you've made a couple of big busts. We're not going to talk about it today. There was this huge pit bull ring bust over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about it today because it's sensitive. It's in court, but we are going to have Wendy going to have Wendy in 2 weeks' time with Jeanette Erasmus from Underdogs Pitbull Rescue, and we'll get into that again.
That's going to be a tough show. But that
was fantastic.
Yes,
I mean,
the
Brits 10. There's so many good things that's coming up, and it gives you hope. You know, does give you a bit of hope. But do you find, are more people educated? Are they more motivated? Is the message getting through, Bryce? Or is animal cruelty there with us to stay, and you're always going to get those that abuse animals?
I also agree. You know, this is a case that's in court at the moment, and we will always strive to stop dog fighting. But as you know,
yeah,
rape.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
It's with us. We do our best to stem the tide. Mm. There is generally a lot more awareness. What I really do like is the supermarkets that are really motivated to produce products that are
humanely treated.
Yes.
The animals come
free range eggs,
eggs. Woolworths
is amazing.
They've recently committed to only buying sheep from farms where they don't use traps.
Yes.
People are becoming more aware.
Shout out to Woolworths.
They've
definitely, stood up and said we're going to make a difference.
Good on them, man.
But I so respect people like you actually go out there in the trenches and actually go and make a difference. You know, I'm a bit with my magazine and my Facebook, I'm a bit of an armchair warrior, but you don't always get out there and see what's happening. So I really do.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a thankless job.
Thank you for what you do. It must be a thankless job.
Yes.
I'm very interested to know your own personal animal life. Like, how many, do you have dogs? Do you have cats at home?
I do have two dogs and a cat.
Okay. And you never have to take them to the vet. You just do everything yourself. Yeah. Eh? It must be nice. I always wanted a parent that's like a doctor or something.
Yes.
You know,
yes, you never visit the doctor. Actually, treat you yourself. I've got a niece that's studying to be a vet. I've got that planned forward. Well, do you? Do you take them to get a second opinion, or do you just treat them yourself?
Well, look, I'm not. I don't have a clinic. I don't have a hospital.
Right. So you would need to go.
Again, you know, it's something that people need to be a bit more aware of.
Yes.
They need to give the animal the benefit of the doubt if they need treatment. Mm. And this is what a veterinary practice with the ultrasound and the x-rays and the blood labs includes.
And Bras, tell me something, this is something I don't know. Can the general public go to the SPCA to get veterinary treatment? And is it less expensive? I haven't done any research on that.
We treat many, many, many animals throughout the country at our hospitals, clinics, and consulting rooms. People need to pass a test to prove that
they... So like the government hospitals?
No, we don't receive money. We do our best in what we can. Obviously, some of the societies can provide much better treatment than others. And this all comes down to, what the public help us with in terms of donations. You mentioned earlier this bad rap that some of the local societies get. I've seen many societies that rehome animals on a daily basis. Mm. On a daily basis, you know. And many of these animals come from horrible conditions. They've been fed up. They've been treated. And they leave the hospital they leave the SPCA with a great new family.
Yes.
It
is. More people are adopting. And I think the SPCA doesn't get any government support, relies on donations and funding. And you're the only one that actually can go out there with a bit of teeth and make arrests, actually physically do something out there.
Yeah.
And I think more people need to start supporting SPCA.
Yes.
They really do, because this is why the series, because a lot of people kind of, as John has said earlier, think, it's a kennel, they euthanize dogs. They don't get the whole picture of what you guys actually do, which is incredible. It really is.
If I could just make one appeal, you know, specifically something that's close to my heart, and that's the life of the farm animals. Farming, the transport, and how they're treated when they're slaughtered. The Farm Animal Protection Unit, they do a fantastic job, and the work that they do all over this country is just fantastic. And I do assist them with a lot of that work. That's No, it's a lot of petrol.
We're still having the chappy in my, his name escapes me, but I mean, we've even had the donkey lady, we'll call her that.
Unit. Yes, twice on our show.
We actually had her in twice because she was so amazing.
She had so much to teach us.
You are all animal angels that, that just do this and give of yourself. So, you know, again, in ending, please, people, support the NSPCA. Yeah. They've always, there's branches all over the country. Make donations, even if it's 20 rand a month, it will make a difference. Yes, and spread the word. Go in, go and adopt a dog from the SPCA.
Yeah. Instead of complaining about the euthanasia, why don't you make
a difference the next time you get a dog or a cat? No,
yeah.
absolutely, Jana. Couldn't have said it better. But, Bryce, thank you so very much for coming in today and for all that you do. bless you. May you save many, many animals as you go further.
And then when we come back, we have a much
when we come back, more we're changing tact.
Topic.
Yes, we got Brian Blades, who's here from WODAC, World of Cats and Dogs
Expo. I was interested
Expo.
To see his number plate says WODAC.
Of course, of course. It's the biggest event of the year, so we'll be back with Brian.
CliffCentral.com.
It has been locked away from the eyes of the world. Chained, never to be released. But now, it wants to get out. Stay tuned to Cliff Central weekdays to find out how you can unleash the Jeep Renegade. Find hidden codes in videos posted by Jeep SA, and you could win Jeep Renegade prizes, as well as become the person to single-handedly unleash the Jeep Renegade upon the shores of South Africa. Are you renegade enough?
I'm a renegade, I just hit the ground running.
Visit unleashrenegade.co.za to find out. T's
hey,
and C's.
Worcester, Conrad speaking.
Hi, Conrad. This is Chad from the Glen Gables Hotel in Worcester. We're looking for a new cleaning service. I found your number on the internet. Would you be interested?
Yeah, Flip, great. Where are your offices?
Well, on the corner of Alaho and Aldo, across from the Beef Cack and Tag Shack.
Cack and what?
There's more than one Worcester out there. Reach a more relevant audience by advertising with the Yellow Pages. Visit yellowpages.co.za and get listed online with South Africa's most trusted business directory. Yellow Pages. For local, reliable results.
This is the best beach party in the history of beach parties ever.
Cheers, Brent!
But if we take away the cocktails, your bendy morals,
hey, dudes. Hey.
The jocks, the surfers,
until you've gotten your ball.
The obligatory Australians,
oh, wow, the party.
Their swimsuit bulges,
hey, good night, it's a wiggle.
And your ability to metabolize a four-cheese pasta. If we remove the ocean setting, the bitchy laughter, your reliable birth control, your glaucoma prescription, ankles that touch your ears, your will to bikini wax, northward-pointing nipples, and triceps that don't shake when you cough. If we take away your hopes, dreams, flexibility, and your ability to hold in your pee when you jump up and down, if we take away all that, we're left with you, at 35, on holiday, bobbing in the warm yellow kiddie pool with your four-year-old. In a sexless sack that you call a swimming costume. Student flights. Travel before it's not fun anymore.
CliffCentral.com.
And we're back, and now we're going to be talking, we're changing tech completely to the world of dogs and cats, WODAC.
Yes.
The most amazing expo, the biggest expo, the most fun. I've been going to them for 20 years, from the time they started. Used to be at the Dome, couldn't wait, highlight
of the year. I suppose the Dome eventually got too small.
Well, we're going to find that out, but it's just the biggest event of the year. We already, from Canine Zone Magazine's perspective, we're already planning, we're excited. We're doing a celebrity dog challenge,
awesome.
Which Casper de Vries is going to take part in.
Wow, okay.
That is a lot of fun. It's the celebrities that's going to go around the ring with agility dogs to raise funds for shelters. But we got Brian Blades in today, who's the organizer. WODAC is you, Brian. Welcome. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sharon.
All the way from Durban.
All the way from Durban.
Yes. Sure. Yes. Brian, 20 years.
20 years, correct.
Time.
It's a very long time. We started in Durban for 7 years before we even came to the Dome. Started off something very small. Not totally divorced from your last speaker. The idea of WODAC was for education purposes.
Right.
And educate people about purebred dogs, about buying from responsible breeders.
Yes.
And as your last speaker said, that, you know, there's a lot goes in to choosing the right dog. Mm-hmm. We'll just quote your Border Collie on the front of your cover this month. A Border Collie is not for everybody.
No.
It's a genetically bred dog for working.
It wants to work.
It wants to work. And they go mental if they don't work. Mm-hmm. So people who buy a Border Collie and want it to stay in the back garden are going to have a huge problem. That's why a lot of Border Collies end up in rescue.
Yes.
And there are a lot that end up in rescue. And so, yes, people need to make that right choice.
Yes.
And there's a lot goes into a choice. I don't know how. I mean, I can just refer back to my own when I had to choose my own a dog. And I really didn't know what I wanted. And I think it's, I try and explain to people, you know, when you buy a dog, it's about looks. What suits your eyes, like buying a car.
Yes.
I mean, I see cars out there, which I don't know why people would buy them.
But
they're
people
horrible.
Love them.
Yeah,
yes.
And other people love them.
It's personal
choice. So we've
choice.
Got now people buying a bulldog or an Afghan or a Rottweiler, Doberman, whatever it might be. Different dogs suit different people's eyes and what they appreciate in a something that's beautiful. So there's a lot to when you choose a dog, you've got to really make that choice. And without knowledge, you can't make a choice. And as I say, the Border Collie is a prime example where you really need to know what you're taking on. And if you're not prepared to give it the training and the exercise that it requires, you're going to have a problem
not
on
a
your hands.
Not a good idea.
You're
yes.
going to have dogs that dig, bark, chew up things, and that's all frustration.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. People don't generally do that. You're quite right. You have to look at the nature of the dog.
I think people choose, I mean, myself included, I choose it on the value of its looks, it's cute, you know?
Yes.
But I guess that's not the right way to go about it.
You've got to. I mean, I love Rottweilers. My whole life I've had Rottweilers. I don't at the moment because I've now got two. A bull terrier and a bulldog, pit bull. But I don't think I'll ever get a Rottweiler again.
Just
because I'm getting older, I won't have that time to go out and work with them and train them and do the right thing for them.
Yeah.
They're working dogs.
Absolutely. And it's the exercise of walking, you know, and it's
yes.
no good just letting, you know, people say, oh, my dog runs around the garden, chases a ball.
That's not
stimulating enough.
No, it's not
dogs
stimulating.
Dogs need to, you know, they need to get out there. It's not just physical exercise, it's mental exercise that dogs need as well. So it's... I mean, we know as humans, it's just not physical, it's mental as well.
Yeah.
We need
a change of scenery.
No,
absolutely.
Need stimulation.
Yeah.
And Wodak's great with that because you do have a lot of the breeds represented there. And the people will talk to you about the breed. These are reputable breeders.
As you said.
That know their breed.
That's what we're there for.
Yes.
You know, there's no substitute from speak to somebody who owns that breed. Somebody who owns the Border Collie is in far better position to explain the Border Collie than I am.
Because they're not trying to sell it. I mean, it's not like you're at the pet store and they're trying to sell it to you.
You'll find good breeders
they'll
will actually
honest.
Try and put you off.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, a good breed is going to bring up all the negatives of owning a particular breed. And if you're still interested, then you can start talking. And as your last speaker said, you know, a huge amount of time and money goes into raising a proper litter.
Yes.
And we do, it's not only breeding; it's like it's genetics, and we can't just keep breeding within our own little genetical pool. Mm. What we have in South Africa, we have to import dogs. So all your top breeders will be importing new bloodlines to keep that.
It's a costly exercise, but they're doing it for the breed.
I mean, to import a dog today, you're probably spending 60,000 rand on a puppy, on an 8-week-old puppy. That's what it'll cost you. Mm. And we have a lot of people importing quality dogs.
Yes.
And again, one of the to tell people if you can't find a breeder, it is very important to see the parents, certainly the mother. If you can't see the mother of the puppy, walk away because you know. When we breed, we breed not only for looks, we breed for temperament and health. And you can always, the temperament, a lot of people when they go to a litter and they see a little nervous puppy, they feel sorry for it. That puppy is going to be a problem all
their
life.
It's an emotional choice.
And there's a lot of dogs that end up in the SPCA and the other rescue organizations. It's because there's a problem. And I promote people going and getting a dog from the rescue organizations, but they've got to remember there is a problem with that dog, and that's why it's there. And if it wasn't a problem, it probably wouldn't have ended up in the... So they've got to be prepared to solve that problem.
Yes.
You know, stop the barking, stop the digging, stop the chewing.
Yes, don't just give up.
Don't
do
give up.
Something
so they,
about it. Get a behaviorist.
They have to understand when
takes.
They take that dog,
yes.
they're going to have to invest some time. You know?
But that's what I love about Wodak, Brian, is that the reputable breeders are represented, but the shelters are also represented.
Absolutely.
So people go there, they get the education that they need, they can find out about the breeds, they can help a shelter, get involved.
Correct.
It's such a, it's all things animal. That's what I love about
it. It is. We try and, as you say, it's just not about dogs and cats and the reptiles and the fish and the horses. It's about it, but it's also what you can do, you know, with your animals.
Yes.
You know, you can go, you know, there's training clubs there. You can find a training club. The Kennel Union of South Africa will be present and they can advise on who's in the area as good breeders, who are good trainers. They can give you lots of advice. And, it's educational. We can show what a well-trained dog looks like.
Can do.
Yeah, we've got agility dogs.
Dancing dogs. I think a lot of people, I think that's what made me want to get into training my Rottweilers at the time, is because you go and see these dogs.
And you can see what they're capable of.
Absolutely. And the bond that they have with their handler. It's just unbelievable.
Correct.
But let's just get into the logistics. When is it taking place? Is it in July, I see?
It's in the 17th to the 19th of July at Gallagher Convention Center, Midrand. We're open from 9 o'clock through till 6 o'clock, Fridays to Sunday. Friday is what we call family day and trade day, so families can come at a cheaper price on the Friday, so and compared with Saturday and Sunday. I would suggest people get there early because it does get extremely busy, and if you don't like crowds, come on a Friday.
This might be might be an obvious question, but I'm sure people are wanting to know, can they bring their dog along?
Absolutely not.
It's going to cause chaos, eh?
Yeah, okay. There's a number of reasons. One, yes, it's just chaos. It's an indoor show and it does get congested, but it's also the health. And we don't know if all the dogs are vaccinated and carrying any disease.
So for their own good.
Yeah. So
their
own good. Dog is in a show.
Yes, absolutely. They're all entered. Any dog that is present will be entered in a typical competition and all there for demonstration purposes.
Okay.
And there's lots of shows. And that's something we haven't really got into on the show, is the whole dog show world. Showing your dogs. It's huge in
people
this country.
People take that very seriously.
Yes, and they do take, and cat shows as well, which I know you also do at Wodak.
We'll have over 200 cats. We'll have over 200 dogs, all of different breeds. And yeah, people show because it's a competition. People like to compete. People like to come first. And it's also for breeders. If you want to be able to promote your particular breed of dog as a winning top dog, then you need to show it.
You need to be there.
Yeah, and if it's a racehorse, you need to have a winning racehorse to.
Sure.
If it's going to be used for stud, it needs to be shown that
it's got the
capabilities. And that's the same with us.
I wish these dog fighters would rather train their dogs in agility and obedience and go and compete.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that with them, I really do. And Brian, you've got a lot of fun stuff too. We were talking about the celebrity dog challenge. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, the celebrity is something we've done for many years to try and raise funds for the various welfare organizations. We sponsor 6 welfare organizations to participate at WODAC. The celebrities are there, obviously, to give it that little bit of prestige.
Yes.
And we've had some very nice celebrities over the years who have promoted animal welfare. So it's a fun event. It really is a fun event.
It's going to be you.
Because, we give the celebrities a trained dog, obviously. But, there's a difference between a dog knowing what to do and a handler who doesn't know what to do.
Are you allowed to reveal some? I already know one of them.
Well, I know we've got Casper de Vries.
Casper, who has his own show
signed
here.
Up. Yeah. Yes, we've also got Ashley Hayden.
Signed
up, working on a few more very interesting celebrities, but it's going to be cool to see what Casper gets up to.
And we're still twisting Gareth's arm. Hey, we're still going to.
Gareth can't make it. I've already tried. He's busy that week, but this is going to be the Canine Zone Complete Pet Celebrity Challenge. Sure. Don't miss that one. It's going to be great because it raises funds for the shelter. And then, Brian, as you were saying, you've got the cat section. obviously dogs, reptiles. I know there's even spiders, you know, on display, horses.
Yeah, we have rats. I mean, I didn't realize until a few years ago there was pedigree rats. And
who would have thought?
Yeah, you get a pedigree with your rat. They're very,
they
very, very friendly. Yeah.
Rat agility competitions.
They have the shows and they breed very friendly little rats.
Yes.
They make lovely pets, rats.
Yes, they do.
Apparently they do.
Very intelligent.
We have rabbits. We have the budgies, but this year we've got something new. We're going to host the National Koi Society show.
So
we'll have a lot of top breeders of koi will be there with their best fish, also being judged. There's an overseas judge, I think, coming out to judge the koi.
That's fantastic.
So these are going to be huge koi. Like.
No. This is the baby koi.
Oh, baby koi.
So
they're
small, but there's going to be a lot of them. And there will be a winner at the end of the day, apparently.
Oh, I love koi fish. I'm so going to come check that out.
That's something different. We try and have something different each year. We started a couple of years ago with the horses, so we have 4 or 5 different breeds of horses available for people to see and talk to, you know, people about the horses. And we have a few of the rescue organizations as well from the Horse Society. We have the Lipizzanas there normally. Not the horses, but the people from Lipizzanas who can also educate the people on what's involved there.
And most of the stands are a lot of fun. I mean, there's something different. I know Animal Talk, also one of the big sponsors, and they get involved. They did talks on how to teach your dog, or your child, sorry, to handle a dog and to treat a dog, which was run by Leslie de Klerk from Paws for People. Very educational. So most of the stands, they don't just stand there selling products. They're talking to you, be it about nutrition, behavior, something like that.
Yeah, there's something for everybody.
Yes.
It really is a very, very, you know, problem with my show is that people tend to come early in the morning and stay all day, and it gets fuller and fuller. Most exhibitions, people come in, spend an hour or two and see what they want to see and disappear. But we have ongoing, it's non-stop arena events with different actors. And as you mentioned earlier, the Dancing with Dogs is the South Africa.
Have you seen that, Jonah?
No, I'm surprised to hear this.
Oh, you must go onto YouTube and just put Dancing with Dogs and see some of
that.
It's incredible what they can get their dogs to do. And this is the National South African Championships. Mm-hmm. And the winner of the event gets invited to represent South Africa at Crufts.
Wow.
So they take part at the Crufts. And last year there was something like 28 countries represented at Crufts with the national winner.
Yeah. And I mean, that is also, it's a sport and it takes a lot of training. I mean, the only way I'd get my dog to dance with me is if I had a Vienna in each hand. But
well, I mean, you have to do what you have to do.
Work. Yeah.
That's how they start. I mean, that's how you get your dog with food and praise and you can get your dog to do most things. And dogs are intelligent.
They're very intelligent. One of the winners over the years was that Staffy. I can't
remember.
The little brown Staffy.
Scarlet.
Scarlet. Mm. That's it. You've never seen anything like it. The energy and the bond. With her handler was just. I believe she's retired.
She's
now.
Retired. She's got older now. It's we've got a border collie that's been the champion for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Stunning performance.
Well, okay. Of course, border collies can do anything
if they're trained.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, you also have events coming up before you do a media day, so you get the whole people excited about it, because as I said earlier, in my opinion, it is the event of the year for people who love dogs. I know a lot of people from Cape Town and Durban go, it's not fair because it's not there. Why have you decided not to do Cape Town and Durban?
Well, I'm afraid it's obviously economics.
It's a lot of work.
Gauteng is 65% of the pet community.
Sure.
We've decided it's a lot of work to put one show on a year.
Mm.
We have done, as I say, we did Durban for 7 years and it just got so big that we had to move. I mean, most of the companies are Johannesburg based, so my arm was twisted to come to Johannesburg.
Yes.
We've been to Cape Town once. Cape Town was very good, but there's not that many venues that's suitable and affordable, where Johannesburg has got a few venues, so there's a little competition here where there isn't in Durban and Cape Town. Gallagher Convention Centre is fantastic because it's got...
It's massive,
and it's got lots of parking. It's got lots of open space so the dogs can run around as well for a bit of exercise during the day. So, yeah, it has proved to be a good venue. And we also, you know, it's nice there. We get the Pretoria people as well as the Johannesburg people.
And you did a lot of what I found interesting being a standholder is last year after the show, you got so much research that you did that came out of that, which was fascinating. Mm. How many people were dog owners? Mm. How many were cat owners? Mm. And I think more and more people are actually doing more for their animals. Mm. They are looking at good nutrition. They are looking at behaviorists and not just locking them in the back garden.
Well, I think the fact that you're showing up to an event like this proves that you love your animal, that you're taking an interest. So,
absolutely. But you know what? It also serves another purpose is that there's a lot of busy people out there who can't keep animals but love animals.
Mm,
and, you know, they just want to come and see the cats and see the dogs because that's they'd love to have, but they're sensible enough not to have a dog that they can't look after. You know, they're just so busy. And let's face it, our lifestyles today are extremely hectic in most cases.
And I think also for children, I mean, like you say, you don't want to just buy your child a puppy or let your dogs breed so your child can see puppies. Mm. Well, they come to an event like this, they can see every breed of dog, you know, that we have. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point you raised there. When somebody phones me and say they're looking for a dog for a puppy for his daughter or his wife, I said, no, sorry, it's got to be a family. All the people in that family have to agree that is what the dog they want. Because if, I mean, I've seen people that the father wants a Rottweiler, but the mother's scared stiff.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't work. No. That doesn't work. So it's got to be a family decision. So as if, you know, as a breeder myself, I want to see the whole family.
Now, I was going to get to that on the personal note. You've always been involved with dogs.
That's why I started.
What do you breed? What do you work with?
I mainly Dobermans. I've been breeding Dobermans for nearly 40 years.
Oh.
So, yes, we not big. I one litter a year, maybe. I haven't had a litter for the last 2 years, just circumstances. Yes. Dogs and cats takes up all my time. We did import standard schnauzers a few years ago. There weren't many standard schnauzers.
No, I was just going to say, you don't
in
see
South
them.
Africa. Mm-hmm. So, my family twisted my arm to get a standard schnauzer, so we imported two, and we have bred those a couple of times. Lovely, lovely dogs. But again, it's you know, my Dobermans, I can just take a cloth and rub them down, and they're nice and clean.
Polish.
And but schnauzers, it's a lot of grooming and bathing, so it's a lot of responsibility if you're going to take on that type of dog.
Yes. Mm. So how many, what do you have at the moment? How many dogs do you
have? I've got three Dobermans and four schnauzers.
Wow. That's a handful.
That's a nice Doberman's. Well, but even Dobermans, you don't see them often anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot out there. There's quite a few breeders breeding Dobermans, and we don't, you know, there's people do, a lot of people do understand that there is that they need to buy quality dogs.
Because they're also classed as a working
dog.
Oh,
big time.
Yes.
No, a Doberman is just as, not quite as hectic as maybe a Border Collie, because Border Collies haven't been domesticated in the same way as a lot of our dogs, like Dobermans. They were working dogs up until quite recently. It's only over the last maybe 20 years that they've become show dogs and become house dogs,
pets,
where previously they were on a farm doing their business. And that's so they're still more strongly genetically engineered to be working, so compared with the Doberman. But yeah, Dobermans, you need to put in the work. I enjoy working dogs, so it suited me perfectly. And they're an athletic dog. When I was younger, I could go running.
Yes, yes.
So I used to take my dogs running with me, and so they would run. They run at comrades with no problem. If trained, you know, they have
sleek and beautiful.
Yeah, it's like everything else. You can't just take a dog and run 20 kilometers. Mm. It's got to be eased into 20 kilometers, like we would be.
Yes.
But they're quite capable of running, yeah.
I know, they're awesome dogs. And Brian, exhibitors at the show, we've spoken about the breeders, we've spoken about other exhibitors that you're going to have there. It's everything from ourselves, Animal Talk magazines, to your pet nutrition.
Oh,
what else? Products?
The full range of anything to do with the pet industry is there. Mm. It's, as you say, all the latest toys for dogs and cats, all the latest dog food, nutrition. Yes. We've got the pharmaceutical companies there with all their tick and flea type products. Mm. We have people selling, you know, everything. Yes. Anything to do with dogs or cats, they're there. A lot of dog beds. You know, people with fancy dog beds, leather dog beds.
Oh, yes, I know. I'm going to go and replace my Wagwheel bed this year. That's the most amazing beds. Let me tell you this. Mona, I'm giving you a punch. But so, I think that's also what's so nice is I think if you are in the pet industry, you should be at Wodak.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Friday particularly is where a lot of the, you know,
the traders
are going to be there. And it's, I know people, we get people coming from all within Africa. I mean, they come down from Zimbabwe, Namibia, Kenya.
What, the buyers?
The buyers, they come down to see what is available.
Okay.
Because if they don't, they have to go to all the different wholesalers to see what is new. Well, if they come to Wodak, it's basically under one roof.
I would imagine this is like the biggest expo in Africa.
Without a doubt.
It is. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That's a big thing.
And you know, it is really the only expo of its type in the world.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of dogs shows and indoor dog things. There's a, but I have not come across an event where they've got cat shows, dog shows, horses under one roof.
Under one roof.
Birds, fish.
No,
birds,
for
fish.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I haven't come across anything quite like it. And there are very, very few shows around the world that have been going 20 years as well.
Mm.
So yeah, we quite enjoy what we do. So that makes it easy.
I can't wait. We started 4 years ago when we launched Canine Zone, then called Caesar's Way. And I remember after my first show, I lost my voice for a month. It
all
was
the
that busy.
You did.
It was all the talking because I wanted to jump up every time a person came and said, "Look at this! Look at this!" 1 month I couldn't speak, so I can't
but
wait.
I'm sure
it's
it was
on
worth
my calendar,
it, eh?
Worth every second. I'm just seeing we've got Brad, one of our regular listeners, saying, "I'm currently fostering a husky from Husky Rescue, who was rescued from a puppy mill." Brad, shall we give him the Animal Central salute? We salute you, Brad. Well done. And give him a big hug from us.
Yeah.
Brian, now, before we run out of time, we have got a couple of tickets to Wodak to give away. So if any listeners, please go on to Canine Zone Facebook wall. It's simple, Canine Zone. This afternoon, I will put up a post, ask you a question about what we spoke about today. So you're going to have to listen to the podcast again, and you can win some tickets to Wodak.
Awesome.
Well worth it.
And
well
just
worth
remind
it.
Us again, 17 to 19, hey, July. Yep.
Correct.
Awesome. Of July, Gallagher Estate. You've got to be there and come in and say hi to us, and so let's hope Cusper wins this one for Animals for Cliff Central.
Represents
him. Yeah. Maybe we'll get Damon involved. He's in this issue of Canine Zone. I'll get Damon
there
as
well.
I'm
sure he'd be so willing, yeah.
No, I'm sure. So that's all we have for this week. Next week, we've got a dog behaviorist in to talk about training methods, the different training methods, and we've got our vet back. We've got Clint Austin back in again next week. We're going to talk about...
So get those questions through.
Yes, so there's various things we're going to talk about, but if you've got any questions, again, please post it on Canine Zone Wall and we'll answer your questions. So until next week, get out there, save a dog. If you can't adopt, donate. Thanks for listening.
CliffCentral.com